Welcome to MSP Soundbites. These are short briefings on key concepts that you'll find within the Managing Successful Programs manual. They're intended for people who are just getting involved with program management or for people who are attending a course or preparing for an exam. And they cover the key ideas and concepts within each topic. Stakeholder engagement. The key concepts within stakeholder engagement are stakeholder analysis and segmentation, communications planning, the stakeholder engagement cycle, and the communications plan. So we're going to work our way through each one of those headings, just picking out the main topics that you really need to get your head around to understand the topic well within MSP. So if we start with the stakeholder engagement cycle, first thing we need to do is identify our stakeholders. How are you going to do that? There's a number of ways. You can talk to other programs and projects. You can do workshops, you can pull it together, or you can speak to your corporate communications people. One of the challenges when you're identifying stakeholders is how to classify them. Some you're going to have different individuals in different groups, and they'll pop up on your radar in a number of different ways. That's why we have a tool within MSP called the Stakeholder Map. And what that does is it captures groups of stakeholders and their areas of interest, so the topics that the program's going to deal with, and it maps them together. That provides the basis for your communications planning later. So the first step is to identify the stakeholders. We then need to analyse them. So what sort of things do we want to know about a stakeholder? Yeah, we want to know what their areas of interest are, but we also want to know how influential they are. Some stakeholders will have more influence on some areas of the programme than others. So when we're analysing them, we need to know what their area of interest is, what their level of influence is, and if you map those two together, we get what we call impact. So that's how we find out who the high impact stakeholders are versus the low. And that's going to affect our comms plan. Yeah, because we're going to spend a lot more time with high impact stakeholders than we are with low impact stakeholders as we move through the program. The other area that we need to know about is, are they for or against the program? So in effect, their level of support, or sometimes called attitude. What do we need to do to increase their level of support or reduce their level of resistance? This is quite a complex area that's more into the guise of advanced stakeholder management. But just for you at this moment to be aware that it's important to understand the level of support stakeholders give, not just the areas of influence. So once we've identified them, we've then understood, we've then managed to analyse them, and we create a thing called a stakeholder profile. Now, a stakeholder profile is a document that captures the information about what they're interested in, what the best channels for communicating with them are, what are their hotspots, what areas do we need to work on for them, and when are we planning to communicate with them. We'd also capture in there who the key individuals they're going to communicate on our behalf. Sometimes there's more influential people that can deal with these stakeholders than the actual members of the program team, who in themselves may not be that influential. Once we've identified the stakeholders, and they could be a huge amount, we've understand whether they're majority of for and against us. We then put together a document called our stakeholder engagement strategy. And that basically sets out the approach we're going to use, what responsibilities individuals have, what communications channels we're going to use, what techniques we're going to use for segmenting them, and how we're going to maintain a focus on them over the course of the program. So it's a very glorious kind of sounding term, isn't it? Stakeholder engagement strategy. It just outlines how the program will operate. And a key area that needs to deal with is also how the projects are going to integrate with the program. What we definitely don't want to happen is a program sending out one set of messages and a project sending out a conflicting set of messages. So the stakeholder engagement strategy sets out the control mechanisms through which a project would get any communications approved, for example. Once we've got a stakeholder engagement strategy, we then start planning to do stakeholder. This is a bit some people forget. They do all the analysis, then don't actually engage with them. And it's worth bearing in mind at this stage that stakeholder engagement is probably the one tool, the major tool that the program has got to influence change within the organisation. We then need to put together our planning. So when we're putting a comms plan together, we've got to think about things like, when are we going to communicate? How are we going to communicate? Using which channels? Who is going to do the communicating? Yeah, which individuals are in the best position to do it? Sending out bad news about job cuts, for example, from a program manager doesn't really cut the mustard. We need to think about line managers, senior managers, who's the best person to deliver that message? And we pull that into what we call the program communications plan, which is the third of the main pieces of information that are pulled together in a program. Once we've got our plan, then we do it. And the program, and during the life cycle of the program, we're stakeholder engagement and communications is a continual activity. Even though within MSP, you see the odd, during the life cycle, you see the odd activity saying engage stakeholders. That doesn't mean that's the only time you do it. You're doing it every day. We then look at measuring our effectiveness, and this is one of the toughest things, is saying how effective is our communications. Because if you send out a communications and lots of people come back moaning and groaning and complaining about what the program's going to do, is that a success? Is that a sign of success or failure? From a communications perspective, it's actually a sign of success because people are actually listening to your message and reading it. If you're being complete, if there's no feedback, that's probably bad news because it's suggesting people aren't engaging. And one of the principal causes of resistance, or one of the, not causes, one of the principal tactics for resistance to change is ignoring the message. So you set out your, what your measures of success as part of your stakeholder engagement strategy. And then step six in the cycle is actually going back and measuring your achievements in terms of communications against those criteria that you've set up. With regards to the communications plan, it's important to remember that you need to have a number of different approaches in place. During the life cycle of a program, there will be major announcements, major achievements that will need to be managed. They may well be done in terms of a conference or some sort of a well-managed event. The other thing that a program needs to establish is the drumbeat, which is basically newsletters, that continual bump, bump, bump effect, monthly communications with people. So people know the program's still running, they know what the priorities are, and they just create that continual noise so people understand why the program's there. Some weaknesses in programs is they overmanage big communications events, but don't maintain the momentum between the events. Okay, so that's the sixth step of stakeholder engagement. We've talked about the key elements of stakeholder analysis. We've talked about the key elements of the stakeholder plan. So if I just run through the stakeholder, what we would call the management information relating to a program. So if you're doing a health check on your program, you should have a stakeholder engagement strategy, setting out how you're going to do communications, and in particular, how you're going to interface with projects. For each group, for each stakeholder group, you should have a document called a profile, which captures all the information that you need about that stakeholder. You should have a stakeholder map, which is a high-level document that just shows the main areas of interest that you'll find in the program and how each of the stakeholder groups are interested. So not all stakeholder groups are going to be interested in all the areas of the program. So this helps you target your communications later. And you should have a stakeholder program communications plan, which sets out your schedule for the next 2 years, but with specific tasks over the next 3 months, showing who's going to do the communications, what targets that you're going to, what are the areas that you want to target, and the key stakeholders that you want to influence. Okay, so that's the end of the stakeholder engagement briefing. So just to finish off, four critical success factors for effective communications in a program are message clarity and consistency, that you're actually designing your messages, that you're keeping them simple, clear, and consistent, and that avoids ambiguity. That you've identified and you've analysed your stakeholders. It's no good sending out messages saying everything's going great if you've got a huge amount of stakeholders who are very anti the programme. So you need to understand where the stakeholders are. That we've got an effective system for collecting feedback. So you've got two-way communications with the stakeholders. If they're unhappy, they've got ways of communicating. So as part of all communications, you should say, and if you want to get back to us, this is how you do it. And finally, an effective system of message delivery. That could be email, it could be workshops, it could be podcasts. You need to have a variety of message delivery mechanisms to fit the variety of audiences that you're trying to deal with. And if you remember those four critical success factors, your program should do well.